Wow. I said this before, but I think Sundays are my favorite day of the week. Just having a hot spot of spiritual activity where anything is possible. And I felt like my son, he's two, he prophesied yesterday. I was putting on his shoes. We weren't even talking, and I was putting on his shoes, and he looked at me and he said, "Anything is possible, Mama." And I was like, "You prophesy, son. Anything is possible." And we've been in this City of God series that has been phenomenal. And about a month ago, Jordan preached on the beauty of the slain and risen lamb from Revelation 5. And that our lives would be prophetic pictures of beauty to the world. And my goodness, if you have not heard that, that is a deep dive into the witness of the beauty of Jesus and even reculturizing what we find beautiful. And then a few weeks ago, Darren Rounsend came from the Garden Church in Southern California, and he talked to us about hospitality. And he said, hospitality can come in many forms, but this one was inviting us to gather around a dining room table. How many of you have opened your homes? Whoa, okay. I feel like maybe a low-key rebuke is needed. We have to be doers of the word, not hearers, lest we're deceived, right? Those are my words. And then last week, AJ preached a word on the peace and the joy of God. And he took a holy bulldozer to anxiety and fear. And tonight I felt like was fruit, the joyful expression of worship and praise, because we are people who are filled with the peace and the joy of the Lord. And so I felt like AJ kind of cleared the way, and it's going to be like a 1-2 combo. Tonight I'm gonna hopefully paint this picture of what faith is. And I feel a word from God for this house that we would be a people of faith. And so by the end of tonight, I really feel like God is gonna take us into a new threshold of faith. And the activity of God just right before the end of worship was there was like a tangibility of faith. You could sense the faith in the room, even though we can't see it. We can sense it with our spiritual eyes. And the Lord is wanting to just basically go on that fire and fan the flame of our faith so that we would be people that the anthem of Jesus Christ is over our life with a dot, 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 anything is possible. Anything is possible. And I wanna give us like handles tonight on what this can look like. Oh. Let our lives be a witness. Let us be a faithful witness as we're nourished by the face of the faithful Jesus. Let's pray. God, I just ask that you would continue to manifest your presence in this place, Lord. We do everything for your glory, God. I ask that you would come and awaken the reality of you, Lord. Would you come and brand our hearts with the slain and standing Lamb of God, Jesus Christ, and all that you did for us, the covenant that you gave, and that our yes back to you, Lord, would be the currency of faith. Would you come and build faith tonight? Would you come and be the bridge, Lord, from where we are and where you're calling us to go, Lord? Would you come and stir up hope, the hope of glory, the hope in Jesus Christ? I pray right now, God, that you would anoint this space, Lord, and let every word that doesn't come from your mouth just fall to the ground, God. Come, come, Lord Jesus, and do what only you can do. We look to you tonight to do what only you can do. We're expectant for you to do what only you can do. You've already done so much tonight, and we just lean into you and pull on you and say, you're not done yet tonight. We ask that you would come and just stir up our expectation. Give us a holy hunger that anything is possible where you are, God. And so would you orient us tonight? Orient us tonight to come under you as a rabbi, you as the one, you as the standing power. Powerful Lamb of God, in Jesus' name. Oh, I'm getting carried away. Wow, we could stay there all night long. How many of you know the Gary Chapman love languages? We're well versed in this. How many of you, it's really good to know what your love language is so that you know how to receive love. And it's really good if you're married and you know what your spouse's love language is so that you can give love based on how they receive love. Because if you're a person, how many of you would be like quality time? Well, it's not that many. It's usually the most. Words of affirmation. Gifts. Pay attention, spouses. Acts of service. What am I forgetting? Physical touch. Give your friend or your spouse a touch. And how many of you know if I was gifts, and my spouse or someone that loves me just kept doing things for me, acts of service, or if my love language is gifts and I kept giving this person who is words of affirmation just gift after gift after gift, they'd say, well, that's nice, but it just doesn't really like touch this core spot in how I receive love. And it's so important to know how to love each other, but you know where I'm leading you? It's so important to know the love language of God. And the love language, one of the love language of God is faith. The word of God says that without faith, it's not even possible to please him. And so we're going to dive into scripture tonight on what the scripture says about faith so that we can be a people of faith and bring honor and glory and that God would receive the love that he loves receiving. And that we could be conduits to answer the prayer of God that it would be on earth as it is in heaven. Anybody excited about that? Might just be me, but I'll get you. So I want you to open your Bibles to Hebrews 11 because we are going to take a step into a greater threshold of faith. Hebrews 11. So as you're turning there, I just want to give you context. The writer of Hebrews in Hebrews 9 and 10 is listing the requirements of the law, the Old Testament. They're taking the Old Covenant and they're saying, this is how you got to God. It was the blood of goats. It was the blood of bulls. And you had to do all of these things to get access to appease God. And then he contrasts the Old Testament to the New Testament. He said, all of that sacrificial system was good, but it fell short. Now you have been inaugurated into the new covenant, which is by the blood of Jesus, which by his flesh and his blood, we have a new covenant that's based on better promises. And Hebrews 9 and 10 are setting the stage of a new covenant that says, now we have a new and a living way. We have access to God with full assurance of faith because the torn flesh of Jesus Christ. And this is a beautiful scenario of we're walking from the old into the, we see the cross and into the new. And then we find Hebrews 11. Hebrews 11 is right on the heels of the new covenant. And I want to read Hebrews 11. And as we're reading it, I want you to picture that we're reading in the book of God as he's bragging on the saints of old, who they were, how they obtained a good testimony of faith, and the exploits that followed their life because their faith energized. And they didn't even know Jesus, and most didn't even have the word of God. So this is a beautiful context. So Hebrews 11, verse 1. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen, for by it the elders obtained a good testimony. Skip to verse 5. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he didn't see death, that's my prayer, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony, that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to him must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Skip down to verse 8. By faith, Abraham obeyed when he was called to go out to the place which he would receive as an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going. By faith, he dwelt in the land of promise as in a foreign country, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, the heirs with him of the same promise. For he waited for the city of God, which has foundations, whose builder and maker is God. By faith, Sarah received also herself also received strength to conceive seed, and she bore a child when she was past the age, cliff note 90, because she judged him faithful who had promised. Therefore, from one man, One man's faith and him as good as dead. So we're telling him that this is not, this is hope for us. As good as dead. We're born as many as the stars of the sky in multitude, innumerable as the sand, which is by the seashore. And then it goes person after person, people who died in the faith, not obtaining the testimony, not obtaining the promises, by faith, all these exploits, by faith, there were men and women who subdued kingdoms. They stopped the mouths of lions. They quenched the fire. They escaped the edge of the sword. It sounds like an action-packed story. And they received their dead back to life again. People were sawn in two, it says in the end of this verse. Crucified, tortured, beaten, not wanting deliverance because of the faith that they had of what was to come. Chapter 12, verse 1. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded so by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. How? How do we run with endurance? Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame of it, and has sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Whew. There is a lot in this passage that we can't even get into tonight, but if I could just take a little dip in what is faith? What is faith? Faith is this inner conviction, this trust, this reliance on this. It's like making friends with something. Faith is a relational response to the vow that changed history by the death, the life, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Faith is a response to the absolute relational equity that Jesus poured out with his blood and his death. And faith is just a response that says, I believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder for those who diligently seek him. Faith is such a beautiful thing. It's a response to the vow of faithfulness that Jesus made on that cross. That's faith. And tonight I want to take our definition of faith. Sometimes I think we can come and hear faith messages and get condemned, like, oh, I don't have enough faith. Oh, I don't have this. And I want to just like throw a landmine to that and say, if you believe in Jesus Christ and that he's a rewarder, your life will show it. That is faith. Faith is equity, equity of two who have become one. Faith is equity in this relational dance of yeses to the Lord, that I've lost my life and I've found it in you. This is faith. Faith says, I believe that not only your wounds were for me and for everyone else, but I believe you're standing, which is a picture of victory. It's a picture of overcoming. Faith just says yes to that. It's not like this flex that we do. It's not this transactional approach that many faith messages can have, where I do this and we pull this lever and then God does that. It's not that. It's just this, you are. I believe that you are. It's the play of I am. And if you look at the I am, over 100 names, I wasn't even planning on saying this. There's over 100 names of God in the Bible. And if we believe that he is, we're saying, yes, this is Jesus, the perfect representation of the Father, the perfect representation of the Spirit. They're all this beautiful mirror of this, the slain and standing Lamb of God. I feel like I might need to pump the brakes a little. Faith is that. And then we talk about faith as the substance. That meaning is it's the setting. It's the foundation. That's why Hebrews 11 is after the old, contrasting the new covenant, because now our standing, our setting, our substance is faith saying, yes, he is who he says he is, to me, through me, and for you, my friends. There's no exceptions. There's no exceptions. He is a rewarder. Do we believe that? That's the thing. Do we believe that he's a rewarder? And then it says, faith is the evidence of things hoped for, the things not seen. That's a nod to Romans 8 that says, if we see it, it's not hope. It's a nod to 2 Corinthians 4 and 5 that says, what we see is temporal. What we don't see is eternal, so I walk by faith and not sight. That is evidence. How is there evidence that Jesus is the slain and standing lamb? People just got healed. That's evidence. And it's in the Word of God. It's in the Word of God. And so we get to represent God here in our own lives, in our families, in our churches, and then when we leave. This is not supposed to stay here, friends. This is not supposed to stay here. We're supposed to stay on fire for God tomorrow, the next day. And there was a man that said, "What the most important thing that we do in prayer is the 15 minutes after we get done praying." And I'm, none of this is in my notes, holy cow. But if we leave this place and we forget what we're supposed to do, ministers of reconciliation, we're hearers and not doers, and we're deceived. And so this is us practicing what we say we believe. Oh, greater thresholds tonight, Lord. Take us deeper. There's always more. There's always more. I hope that I'm 90 and I'm like, Lord, there's more. There's more. There's more. There's more. You paid for so much more. Until I see you, there's more. Why do we need faith? Why is this so important to God? Isn't he just like in control of everything? Got really quiet. He needs his people. This world is filled with evidence of brokenness. Our eyes, our ears, our hearts are filled with realities that are far inferior to what he intended on the cross. So we need faith to be a bridge to what is, to what he wants, so that we can answer the prayer of Jesus, that it would be done on earth as it is in heaven, so that we can be ministers of redemption wherever we go. And we see these things that are in fear and they break our heart, because God's saying, son, daughter, have faith that I am and that I'm a rewarder when you seek me. Have faith that I'm, and I think of rewards, we're built for rewards. My two-year-old is potty trained because of rewards. We work because of rewards. We run races. Like, look at the Olympics. They're running their race after a perishable crown. What if we did that for an imperishable crown? What if we had that kind of grit for that kind of reward? That is what God wants to see in this house. We need faith, because faith is another kind of evidence that's rooted in the Word of God. It's rooted in the Word of God that has an author. Faith has an author that is far superior, far more hopeful, far more redemptive in every sphere. His reality is so good. The kingdom of God is so good. And how will it come to pass if we aren't the people that help bring his prayer to life, that it would be on earth as it is in heaven? Faith sees what is above. It sees the things unseen. It thinks on what is heavenly. I might be assaulted by these things, but I get to think what's above. I get to put on Christ and see how he sees, hear how he hears, have a heart that he has, and I get to be a minister of redemption with the Lord Jesus Christ. I will live, this is what faith says, I will live in a way that brings glory and a good testimony to God. Glory to his wounds and pleasure to his face. Faith, a life of faith, is that. And I want to tell you that we get the privilege this side of heaven to be ministers of redemption. Because on the other side, friends, we do not need to pray for healing, for miracles, for breakthroughs, because it will be perfect. It will be filled with joy and peace. There will be no pain. There will be no tears. There will be no sadness. There will be no brokenness. There won't even be nighttime, because the Lamb is the light. And we will be his people fully. We won't need to pray for breakthrough that side of the cross. So we get the privilege today to do this. And when we were worshiping, by the way, worship team, you guys are It's the gospel. Our hearts just come alive at the hearing of the gospel. So thank you for being musical theologians of Jesus. I don't even know what I was saying, but we get the privilege. And I don't know about you, but I read Hebrews 11, and I want my name in this book. I want God to be bragging on his daughters and his sons. And oh, Megan, she obtained a good testimony that pleased me. She followed me, no matter the cost. And then there's exploits. Even the meditations of my heart that no one would know but him. I find faith in her thought life. I find faith how she meditates when things get hard. I find faith in the leaning. In the leaning, when the unknown is what the evidence of the unknown is just assaulting our eyes. There's a faith in the leaning, and I want to attain that testimony, and he wants you as well. She believed that I am, and that I am a rewarder. And faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And even in Hebrews 4, it says, you can actually read the word of God and it not profit you if you don't mix it with faith. That's how important faith is to God, that faith makes this thing come alive. Hearing the word of God. That's why we come to church. That's why we revelate on the things of God, because faith gets built. I don't know about you, but I hear these testimonies and I'm like, wow, anything is possible. And I wasn't even planning. I feel the Spirit of the Lord telling me to share this testimony. It was Jordan shared it after a trip. And this guy was praying for someone in a hospital. Maybe you can like help me with the details. But they were praying for the sick in this hospital. And these wounds were incredible. And this man, I don't know if he was like newer to the faith or he didn't know how to pray for the sick. So he's like, okay, I don't have faith to pray for that person and that person and that person. Oh, this person looks like she just might need like some comfort or some love, so I'll go and pray over here. So he said, how can I pray for you? And she pulled down the blanket, and her leg ended right here. And she's like, I need a new leg. He's like, great, 101. 101 praying for healing, right? So he prayed and prayed. I forget the details, but the bottom line is this. They saw this leg go from here. No knee, no shin, no feet, no bones, no toes, grow out completely. And this person got a new leg. We actually can cause Jesus to marvel at our faith. Did you know that? I have this like longing when I meet God face to face that like his jaw drops. He's like, wow, thank you for being a faithful witness. And he talks about marveling twice in the New Testament. The first one is not good. It's in Mark 6, and he's in Nazareth, his hometown. And he said that, it says in the word that he could do no mighty works because of their unbelief. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, his hands were shackled. The garden of their heart were so filled with weeds that no seed could bear fruit. That is mind-blowing to me. And I'm like, oh, Lord, it fills me with the fear of God. Like, I don't want to make you marvel in that way. I want to make you marvel in Luke 7 when the centurion, his servant, gets sick. And he sends Jews to Jesus and says, Jesus, there's a man that needs a servant healed. And so Jesus starts making his way to his house. And the centurion tells the servants, he doesn't even have to come close. He doesn't need to lay hands. And I wonder, were all the miracles that they saw until that far, Jesus had laid hands on people. And he's like, no, you don't have to even be close in proximity. You don't have to lay hands because I know your word has authority. I know all you have to do is say, you're healed and it will happen. You don't have to be close. And Jesus is like, oh, truly, I say, I have not found faith like this, even in Israel, which is kind of a knock to the Jews. This man was a Gentile. He had no church status. He had no rabbinical degree. This should give us great hope. He didn't have what we would call great faith credentials. All he believed is that Jesus was and that he was a rewarder to those who diligently seeked him. And guess what? The centurion servant was healed. was healed. And then people are like, man, all he has to do is say the word. And the entire reality shifts. The things that we see, the things that we don't see that are above come and manifest here. And people are delivered. People are set free. That is incredible. Incredible. And the thing that gives me so much hope is the centurion. He wasn't like your all-star Christian. We know he was generous, but we even look at the people in Hebrews 11. Now, I don't know about you guys, but I'm like, man, how did some of these people make it in the hall of faith? Like, it clearly shows that we don't have to have perfection in this life, this walk of faith. I mean, I look at Abraham and Sarah, and I'm like, well, it says that she judged him faithful. She laughed at God in Genesis. She pretty much put together Hagar and Abraham, and Ishmael came about. And yet God said that she judged him faithful. And that word judged, it means that it was her leading thought. It was her leading thought. It wasn't, clearly it wasn't her only thought. It was her leading thought. And this is how we lead our life, is our leading thought is, my God is faithful. Faithful are his wounds. Faithful is he today, and faithful he will be forever. And this story that he's writing through our lives is leading with the faithfulness of God. We must believe that he is. We must believe that he's a rewarder for those who diligently seek him. Abraham saw this city. He saw the city. He died not seeing this city, and yet something in him said was convinced that there was a greater reality, and he went and moved into the unknown. Some of you are here in this place. How many of you have moved to Boise in the last year or two, would you say? Well, not that many. Are we all Idahoans? We bless you. I was just going to use this illustration, but it's only like five people. We moved to these places based on the promise of God, not knowing exactly what's to pass, but we know he's faithful. So faith is like this, it's like this internal GPS system that says, oh, I'm not finished here. Even though what I see might feel extreme, I'm gonna think on things above. I'm gonna remind myself who God is. And this GPS system helps us land to where God has us, to where God wants us, so that the fruit of the, oh, wow. Is he just telling me just to like let it go? Is this prophetic? Is this a sign? The wind of God is here. So we don't have to do this thing perfectly. But we do have to stand. We do have to stand. And standing, oh my goodness, standing on the word of God. And I'm telling you, like, your life is here and you're standing on the word of God. And sometimes faith just like looks like a holy stubbornness. I'm not going to budge. I'm not going to budge. Oh, nope. Ooh, nope. I am not budging off the word of God. And I think of this in, oh, I was 26 years old. I was believing for children. 27, I'm believing for children, 28, 29 years old, 30, 31, 32, 33, 34, 35. Getting old, God, don't consider your body as good as dead. Have faith, judge me faithful. Give glory to God in the wait. 39, where am I? 40, 40? 41, 42. I'm not budging, God. I'm not budging, God. Guess what? He came through. That's why I have a two-year-old. And I'm stand on the word of God. No matter what, if you know the Lord Jesus, don't budge. Don't budge. Even if I didn't see that come to pass, I know there are rewards to come for me believing in God. That is the currency of heaven. Oh. Isaiah 53, you actually... Jordan referred to this in the transition. I use Isaiah 53 as a catalyst to my faith. And I read about all that Jesus did to be slain. And I say, Lord, I will not forsake, pray, I will not forsake your wounds by forsaking praying for the sick. I will not forsake your humiliation by living a comfortable life. I will not forsake the wound in your side by dividing the bride of Christ. I will not forsake your mercy when you said, forgive them, they don't know what they're doing. And I will extend mercy in the face of mockery and insult and persecution. Mercy, mercy. It takes faith to move in that opposite way. It takes faith to say, I truly believe one drop of your blood would change every oppressive system on the planet. So I will take the blood and I won't let it drop to the ground, God. I will put it on my hands and I will put it on people. I will put it on my prayers. I will put it in systems. I will apply the blood of Jesus in my life, no matter what evidence I see here and now. I know that you are the standing and the slain Lamb of God. And this is so beautiful. This is such a beautiful picture of redemption, deliverance, healing, destroying the works of the devil. We will only be able to do this side of eternity. Oh, gosh. I just want to put a little, I want the word of God to be like a scalpel to judge and divide between soul and spirit. And this is one of my pet scriptures. It's 1 Corinthians 2 when Paul says, like, I don't come and try to convince you with persuasive words, but I actually come to you in the power of the Spirit, in the demonstration of the gospel, so that your faith would not be in man or the wisdom of man or the myth of progress of systems, but it would be in the power of God, in the slain and risen Lamb. And listen, human wisdom, the humanistic gospel, the better, for like even Jordan said, we don't say come to Jesus so that we're a better version of ourselves. We come because we need life. We're dead and we need life. But there's a spirit of this age that wants to water down the gospel, that wants to say, you can do this, but you can't do that. You can have humility, but if you exercise power, that's not humble. And Charles Spurgeon said something so beautiful. He said, power and faith and humility are compatible. Listen to this, because the kingdom's both an and, right? Your faith will not murder your humility. Your humility will not stab at your faith. But the two will go hand in hand to heaven like a brave brother and a fair sister, the one as bold as a lion, the other as meek as a dove, the one rejoicing in Jesus, the other blushing at self. And I'm telling you, there's a dangerous spirit that wants to water down the gospel, that wants to keep our lives a private faith, one that never exercises a reality that's far more superior than what we see. We have a call on our life to see the standing Lamb of God, and he's standing. I find it interesting that we know that he has his wounds right now in heaven after he obliterated death, but he's standing. What does that mean? He's the standing Lamb of God. It's a picture of victory. And I think of how did he receive Stephen in Acts when Stephen was getting stoned? He's on his knees and he's saying, like, receive me. And he sees the Lord standing. It's how he receives his faithful witnesses. He's victorious and he receives his faithful witnesses. Oh, God, help us see you as the standing Lamb. The world is crying out, where's the power of God? Where's the power of the gospel? Where are the oppressed being set free? The world's crying out, where is the answer? Where is the answer? I need delivered. I need hope. The world's crying out, where is Jesus, who you say you believe? What kind of reality do you have? The world is crying out. Jesus wants the testimony that he is is in this, on this earth, that he is a rewarder, that he is good. He's saying, will you believe that this house, River House, is supposed to be a house of healing? We are to be a house of healing. That means that we have people who pray and believe for healing and keep praying and keep praying and keep praying and keep praying. We are going to be a hot spot. Like, you know, the Wi-Fi hotspots that have tons of, I'm not very tech savvy. You know, like the dial-up? No, just kidding. We're supposed to be a hotspot for the kingdom, for the activity of the Spirit. But listen, faith is hard. It's hard. Unbelief is real. Wavering is real. Faith requires perseverance, patience, joy. It requires risk. It requires a steadfastness, a holy stubbornness to keep standing, to resist the devil. Faith requires you standing and standing and standing and standing and standing on the word of God and standing some more. And then your knees get a little wobbly and you might take a step out, like out of the word. And then he's like, keep standing. Keep standing. I'm worth it. You're obtaining a good testimony before you even see your breakthrough because you're living a life of faith. It's vulnerable. Faith is vulnerable because you can't control it. There's so much unknown, and we just want to know. I want to know. Just tell me, Lord, and then I'll partner with you. He's like, faith, we don't walk by sight. We don't walk by sight. I know. Yeah, I might fall a few times, but I walk by faith that he is and that he's a rewarder. And listen, in the unknown, that's where faith is authored. Look to Jesus. In the unknown, faith, that's where faith is authored. In the unknown, I saw this Far Side once, and they're driving, and they have this map of like the middle of nowhere, and it says like, you're in the middle of nowhere, and they're like, uh-oh, because everybody knows how that feels. God, are you really who you say you are? Are you really that for me? Did I do enough to earn it? Did I do enough praying today? Did I pray up enough? Did I do these things? And we get into these modes of striving and earning, and God's like, you're my son, you're my daughter. I gave you my son. How will I not freely give you all things? Right? God is watching. He's watching us. Not with an eye of looking for us to fail, but he's like, go, go, go. And I felt to say this, God is not authoring calamity. He's not authoring sickness. If it fits in the category of steal, kill, and destroy, it's not from God. Because how can we have faith in a God that we think is actually authoring something that's harmful? Can he use this brilliantly for redemption? Yes. But we can't resist the devil if we think God is authoring it. And in Ephesians 6, this is just coming to mind, it says to above all, hold up your shield of faith so that you can quench the fiery darts of the enemy. And I see these fiery darts like, oh, you're to this, you're to that. Oh, this doesn't look good. Or wow, oh my gosh, look at this report. Vain imaginations. Oh man, Lord, I don't know if you're gonna come through. I've been believing for so long. I'm not sure that you're a good father. And we can stand by, it's like a door. These shields aren't these little toy round shields. They're these big doors that you can stand behind. And that's the goodness of God to quench every fiery dart. But we have to put it up. We can't let it collect dust on the ground. We have to put it up so that we can resist and he will flee. I have a testimony. It's not mine, but I read of this woman. This was in Africa, and this mother, she had this baby. This baby was less than a year old, and this baby died. And she heard of a tent meeting that was happening in a village far away. And this mother decided to take her baby to this tent meeting so that people could pray for this baby. And I want you to think for a second, if you're that mom, what would compel you to take your child and walk days on end to a village in the hope. She must have had faith that this, although the evidence spoke one way, she knew it wasn't the final. It wasn't the final. And even if it was, she was gonna risk in faith. And this mother takes her dead baby to this tent meeting. And now I want you to picture this, that you're the one she comes up to. You see her, there's evidence. You're like, and I'm gonna describe this because this is what happens to me sometimes. You start to sweat, your kneecaps start to shake, the fiery darts, the vain imaginations start to come. I don't think I have faith for this. And my goodness, like, wow, like, can I just pray for comfort? And you're like, God, I don't even know how to pray for someone. I don't know how to do this. But she's desperate. She's asked me to pray for healing. And now I want you to look to Jesus, who's the author of faith. I want you to see him sitting on the throne right now. Look at his body posture as he's sitting. He's actually standing because he's the standing lamb. And he's like, and now it says in Romans 8 that he's the great intercessor. I want you to hear the prayers of your great intercessor, Jesus Christ, praying for you as you step out, because faith takes a stepping out. It's a risk. And you hear him and you see him and he's like, do it, do it. Give her courage, Holy Spirit. Give him courage. Remind her, remind him that I am the resurrection and the life. Remind him of the power of one drop of blood. Remind him that I am the way, the truth, and the life, and that nothing is impossible. Give her courage. Give him courage. Help her do it for the sake of Jesus, for the sake of me. You're obtaining a good testimony before you even pray. For the sake of the woman, let it be according to her faith. Let her faith be rewarded. Do it, Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, it's not by might or by power, but it's by your Spirit. Help them know who is in you, in her. Help her know that the same Spirit that raised Jesus from the tombs is living in you, is living in her. Why would he say that? Why would that be in the scripture? The same Spirit that raised Jesus from the dead lives in me. Can you see the pleasure of Jesus? Can you look to him and hear him offering faith? And I have good news. You step out and you pray, and this baby was healed. This baby was risen from the dead. I have a picture of this baby and this mother. I can't even see it without just bawling. So what is this for you? What does that look like for you? For some of you, it's stepping out and it's being faithful in small things. And listen, it's not a sliding scale like raising somebody from the dead. I mean, I do consider that a pretty big deal. But God sees faith in every area of our lives. Every area of our lives. From the smallest decisions of how we give. From the smallest decisions of how we pray. From the smallest decisions. He sees faith. We can't pretend with God. He sees it all. And he's like, you're going to obtain a good testimony that you pleased me. So let your life be authored by faith, by looking at me. So listen, run your race. Run your race looking at Jesus. Run our life of faith is a banner to the world that Jesus Christ is alive. We don't do this for a notch on our belt or a badge. We do this so that Jesus will be known on the earth. And that we would obtain a testimony before him when we see him face to face. Because there is coming a day. There is coming a day. Faith. I just heard this other testimony a couple days ago from Bo and Andrea. Their friend was needing money, and he got a bunch of money, and then God told him to write a huge check. He donated this big check, and then God gave him back double. And then he wrote another check, and then God gave him back double again. And he's like, wow, I think I need to start stretching my capacity to believe you, Lord. Because he just started going on these little acts of obedience. So when Jesus asked the disciples in the boat, when he calmed the sea, when he rebuked the wind, he said, where's your faith? And I've always thought of it as like they didn't have it, but he was saying, no, 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 where is it? Because we all have faith in something. We all put our trust in something. We all put our confidence. In fact, the Latin word for confidence is in faith, in trust. And the world tells us, put your confidence in your retirement plan, in your 401k, put your confidence in this and that and the other thing, and it's all out there. But faith is putting our confidence in the Lord Jesus Christ, that he is a rewarder. So let's run our race and throw off the weight of unbelief. Where is your faith? Look to Jesus. Throw off the confines of comfortable living. Throw off plans for retirement. I'm sorry. Throw off your wanderlust. Throw off the weight of limited evidence in what you see, feel, and hear from the news. It's your bank account, all the things that are real. And run your way, race. Look to Jesus and let your life be a witness that says, I believe. So, did the AC break? I'm going to have everybody, let's see, Lord, how do you want to do this? I do have some things that I feel like the Lord wants to minister to, and maybe like a little 2.0 of healing. Where is God wanting to author your faith? There's areas where we might be just standing, and there's areas where we might feel anemic, and he wants to breathe nourishment in these areas. Where are you overwhelmed by sight and you need a bigger vision, a heavenly vision? Where do you need to think on things above? Where's the witness of the slain and standing lamb in your life? Where is he leading you to risk? It's always good to just take inventory, and I'm asking myself these same questions. Where's the supernatural in your life? Where, if God doesn't come through, it's gonna royally bomb. Where's the power of the gospel? How does the word of God inform your life when your back is against the wall? When you're getting squeezed, God loves faith so much that he actually tests our faith so that it's genuine. And I've even been in a season where getting knocks, we're brushing up with eternity, getting squeezed. And I'm like, yes, thank you for squeezing me. It means I get to trust you in greater measures and that my faith is genuine, which is more precious than gold. And when I meet you face to face and my faith becomes sight, my life will be found praise, honor, and glory to your name. The word of God informs how I stand. We're not making this up. This is in the word of God. When you face various trials and tribulations, this is our life source. The Spirit of God mixed with faith makes this come alive. And things that you don't see all of a sudden become known to you and seen to you, and things that once weren't are. Because faith is the conduit that brings these things to come to pass. Listen, it's not our effort, but it's the Word of God reigning supreme and gaining authority over our lives. I want you to stand. This is what faith says. I mean, I have a few things that I want to call out. Just bear with me just a couple more minutes. Faith says, I will pray for injustices on this earth. I will destroy the works of the devil. I will walk like Jesus and I will pray for deliverance. I won't leave it up to anyone else. I will be a conduit of liberty, of freedom in Christ Jesus. I will be the friend who lowered the man through the roof so that he was brought before Jesus, and because of their faith, he was made well. Some of you are supposed to be that friend. I will come to church hungry, expecting that anything is possible. I come believing that he is and that he's a rewarder. I'm not checking off a box. I'm not going through the motions. I'm showing up early to worship the Lamb and know that he is a rewarder for those who diligently seek him. He's not looking the other way. He's not passing you by. He's not withholding any good thing from those he loves. I will come hungry. This one might sting, but faith says, in retirement age, I will not sit back, relax, and enjoy life. I will use my golden years to pass along the life of faith. And you want to meet somebody that can encourage you in the faith? You go be around Debbie and Jerry, Weary, and Ron and Ruby. You go, wave your hands, you guys. Ron, I see you back there. Ron loves being called out. That's why he's not raising his hand. You want to be encouraged by someone in the faith. You want someone that has history with God. Go be around someone that's walked a life of faith, that has a life of the fruit of faith. This is what we're living for. I'll use my golden years to preach the gospel with my life. Faith says, I will pray for the things God tells me to pray for, to bring redemption to his wounds on this side of the earth. When Jesus returns, will he find faith? Will he find faith? Yes. Yes, he will. We are a people of faith. Until then, when our faith becomes sight, let's all take a step forward into the depths of God by saying, increase my faith. And one of the practical things you can do is look to the Lamb, read the Word of God. And then in Jude, it says this, and we prayed in pre-service prayer, that we can build up our most holy faith. That word build up is the same one for 1 Corinthians 14, that prophecy is the gift of edification, of building up. We can pray in the Spirit. We can pray in the Spirit, and our most holy faith is built up. Tonight is the night where we stand. I want you to respond to God right now, just you and him. Respond to him. Let him speak to you. Let him show you where he wants to author greater faith, and just let him write his story in your life. Let him stretch the capacity to trust that he is good. He's the great I am, and he's rewarding those who diligently seek him. Let him author something greater. There's so much more. There's so much more. There's so much more. He paid for so much. Let him author something new. Some of you, he's authoring faith for financial breakthrough. There's faith for financial breakthrough. I see anointed envelopes. I saw this earlier today. Anointed envelopes that had stamps on them. And what was going into these envelopes were words of encouragement and checks, sowing seed into people. And I don't know if some of you right now have stamped envelopes on your desk, but the Lord is saying, yes, 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 yes. That you are obtaining a good testimony. And I pray right now that there would be faith for financial breakthroughs right now, that where we see the bank account and we're not sure if we're gonna make it to the next month, that Lord, you would bring and author Jehovah Jireh in that space. God, I pray right now, there's faith for healing. There's faith for healing right now. I believe the Lord is gonna confirm this by your hands burning. And if that's you, if your hands are burning, I want you to come forward. I want you to come. He's authoring faith for nations, for people groups. You're seeing a flag. You're seeing the picture of the world. Faith. He's offering faith for your family. Faith for your family. And I want you to keep believing. Keep believing. Blessed is she who believed, for there was a fulfillment of that which was promised her. Faith, keep believing. And if you need encouragement, if you feel the Spirit like moving in you and you wanna come forward because you're wanting to just respond to God, come forward. Come forward. This is just a prophetic picture of faith saying, yes, Lord, I will let you move in my life. I will let you author faith. Things that we're going to pray for healing. I want you to continue to receive. Continue to receive. I'm wondering, is there an Elizabeth here that's over 50? I know there's Elizabeths in here, but is there an Elizabeth over 50 in this room? If it's you, raise your hand. God has a good word for you. If Elizabeth went to go grab her grandkids, have her flag me. And then I've got one more, and I'm actually taking a risk myself. But does anyone have an address of 2654? This is either right or wrong. But God still loves me, and I still have faith. Don't call me a false anything, okay? 2654. Don't tell me afterward that this was your address, because this word expires in 3, 2, 1. Shoot, I really knew there was a 2654 in here. We have some words of knowledge for healing. And I want you to, we're going to pray for healing. And I really feel strongly if your children need a touch from God, we are believing for breakthrough. We are believing that one drop of the blood of Jesus will bring healing and wholeness, and the peace of God will come and make things that are wrong right. So if you have children who need healing, we want to pray. If you need a miracle, we want you to pray. And if your hands are burning, would you raise your hand up here? I know there's a few people that came forward. Okay. If you have a pain in your right ear, God is healing that. He's wanting to heal that. He's wanting to heal everything. But specifically, we had a word of knowledge of a right ear. And scoliosis. If you or your child has a diagnosis of scoliosis, the Lord is wanting to bring the heavenly adjustment to bring the spine straight. And I'm gonna have the prayer team come and float. And I want us to allow, I want you to meet with God, because only He can author faith. And if you need prayer for healing, I want you to come up to the front. We're going to have a ministry. I want you to come up to the very front, and we're going to have a ministry team laying hands on people, because we believe that one drop of Jesus changes everything. We believe that He's the standing lamb. And Lord, I just thank you for tonight. I thank you, God, that you're authoring faith in this place tonight. Lord, thank you for convicting us and squeezing us and bringing areas of unbelief for us so that we can turn away from being informed and being formed by the evidence of this world, and that we would walk by faith and not by sight, because we believe that you are Lord. We believe you are Lord. We believe that you're the standing lamb of God, and that you have all wisdom, all power, and all glory. And we say yes to the commissioning, that we will be a people of power, the power of the gospel. We will be the answer to the world's cry, where is Jesus? And we say that we are commissioned to do the good works of Jesus. We're commissioned to bring redemption. And we say yes to that assignment right now. We say yes to that assignment wherever our feet take us. We say yes, yes, Lord, yes, yes, Lord, yes. Yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. Touch your people, God. Touch our minds. Touch our hearts. Touch our families. Touch our circumstances, Lord. Touch us where we've been believing and believing and believing, and we're weary from believing, Lord. Give us new strength. New strength. Blessed are they who wait on the Lord, for they shall renew their strength. There's a leaning. Some of you need to lean on the Lord Jesus. It's not a striving. It's a leaning. You need to lean. Lean on your beloved. Lean like John the Beloved on the chest of Jesus Christ. He is for you. He is for you. He is for you. He is for you. And listen, we're gonna keep ministering to people, but I want you to take the assignment this week out that you will be a minister of redemption. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and then Sunday we come together with testimonies abounding. And if you were that person that received Jesus tonight, we'd love to come pray for you as well. So come forward and we'd love to pray for you. If your hands are burning, you can pray. You can pray. You can lay hands. Ask Jesus. Tell him what you need. Tell him what you need. We will be a people of faith. This will be a house of healing. This place will see signs and wonders and miracles regularly. There will be a testimony that Jesus is there. Jesus is there. Jehovah Shammah is there. And it will touch the city. It will touch the places that need Jesus. There will be a spilling out to the children's hospital, to the places that need Jesus, the glorious, glorious resurrected one. There's coming a time right now. This is a hot spot of the Spirit. We say yes, God. We say yes, God. If you're on the ministry team at all and you're not scheduled tonight, you can come forward and pray. Come and pray. Come and pray. Prayers of faith. Come and pray. There's someone in here that's been just battered by the devil. It's like a picture I get of a car that keeps getting hit and hit and hit and hit again. And you're under the oppression of the enemy, the torment of the enemy. If that's you, I want you to come. I want to pray for you. I want to pray for you. There's liberty. There's liberty in Jesus. There's liberty in Jesus tonight.